Three, two, one. Hello and welcome to Keyframes, a pod. What the fuck? Get your shit together. Hello and welcome to Keyframes, a podcast about anime. I'm your host, Ben Halliburton, and with me today are Andy.
Hey, hey.
And John.
Oh, hi, it's me.
This is a professional podcast that we do about anime and anime adjacent things.
Did no one else hear what Andy said?
Honestly, I think I'd record a better podcast if I just had Andy's audio turned off all the time. But that's not an option, so we're going to move ahead.
Okay, we're good.
Note to the editor, mute Andy until he gets his act together. We're going to start with what we've been watching. Andy, and I think also John have been watching Ray Zero, the hotness for the last anime season.
It's Re.
Oh.
It's Re.
It's me.
It's Re, but there's a character named Ray.
No.
Rem?
There's Rem and Ram.
Rem and
okay,
Ram.
This is my fault for knowing Latin, because yeah. Ray, Rem, Ray. Anyway, just please take the ball away from me. What is this anime?
It's Groundhog Day meets like every other JRPG anime ace-esque, like person stuck in a anime world.
Don't forget, a lot of people RPG keep saying world. Dark Souls 2, although that makes no goddamn sense.
Wait, why Dark Souls 2?
I don't know, man.
Why not Dark Souls 1?
No, Dark Souls also. That's...
Oh.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think we should spoil this thing wide open, because it's going to be very hard to talk about this anime without spoiling at least four episodes.
Spoiler warning for the first season of ReZero, starring Rem.
And Ram. So this anime is basically this kid comes from a normal, right, the real world, gets transported into an RPG fantasy world, but he has a power that only he has, which is when he dies, he gets transported to a fixed point in time. And then it seems that he gets put on a loop when he dies until he eventually figures out a way to not die, and then he continues, and then he dies again, and then he goes on a loop. And it means that for these loops where he dies, horrible messed up shit can happen to him and everybody around him until he eventually gets it right. And the other thing is because of what it is, it turns out it's like a power by a greater evil that has beset this power on him. It means that he also, he can't speak to anyone about this power. Only he knows about it. So it's this very interesting, I think, dichotomy where he thinks he's the main character. He believes he's the main character, but the whole of the world just ignores him because he's fucking useless. He can barely fight. He doesn't have any magic. And he's just this useless guy who just learns by trial and error, but then he takes forever to learn. And he's a completely dislikable character as well. He's like the lowest of the low, the scummiest of the scummiest. And like, it gets really interesting. I thought that the actual bit with the conversation between him and Rem worked really well, because it was him sort of failing so many times on this one particular problem where everything has gone to shit and he has died. He's seen Rem being tortured in the most like gruesome fucking way that you see that really makes you squeam, and is really well done to like perfectly portray this new character as total evil scumbag crazy guy. He then is like, well, look, I give up with this arc. I give up with everything I'm trying to do. And what I want to do, I know this person is in love with me because of the way that she treats me and the way that she follows me and she does everything. And I'm just going to say, let's just run away together and ignore all of this and we can be happy. And then she basically says, no, because although I love you, I'm not going to run away with you, because if I ran away, whilst that would be everything I've dreamed of, it's not what I like about you. What I like about you is the person who likes the other, is the person who likes, what's the fucking name? The other witch. Pun?
Amelia,
yeah. Mm. And I don't know, I thought that was really sweet. I really like this anime. I think it's really good. And yeah, the first four episodes suck because you're basically following an irredeemable douche for like four episodes. But then when you hear everybody around him talk, and like you see everybody around and all these other political issues, and then you realize how small and insignificant he is, I think it's really interesting. I really like it. I think it's quite good.
I know that you guys, that you, John, and you, Andy, have disagreements about some of the characters and whether they're likable. Because, I mean, for me, this sounds like just like a crummier version of Konosuba's premise. And I assume that it's the characters that that make the difference. But if some of you like the characters and some of you don't, then that's probably an interesting thing to delve into.
I mean, Konosuba's more of a comedy. This is playing it serious. I think is that, and also Konosuba doesn't have the whole like when you die you just, it's Groundhog Day until you finish it.
I mean, technically he does die in Konosuba, so
yeah, well, but yeah,
that's true. But what? Okay, yeah, but Konosuba does, and ReZero are not really, besides the very very basic premise, which is, you know, a very common anime genre now.
It's the anime genre. There's no other animes besides that genre now.
Yeah, basically, dude gets transported into fantasy world. Besides that, they don't really have a whole lot in common. Konosuba's playing it all for laughs, and ReZero's definitely playing it completely straight at all times.
And it works for you, like it works for Andy.
Oh yeah, it definitely works for me. I don't agree at all with Duncan. It's too bad he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, this is a bummer that we can't hear how the second season vindicates the main character's assholish nature.
I mean,
right now, like, it's still unclear like if he's actually going to find redemption, and I'm sort of, I don't know how I feel about whether or not he should find redemption because he is a shitty person, but also he's not trying to be a shitty person, so like, you know, he's just like, he's I don't know.
That reminds me of like the Quarter to the Three movie podcast. Kelly Wand often criticizes how a lot of shows, especially comedies, always have to have redemption at the end, whether or not it's earned. And I wonder if that's Duncan's concern, because I know he's a listener to that podcast.
It's definitely a concern for me. I don't like, if they earn it through the story, then great. If he earns it, like somehow, like actually legitimately earns it, which seems kind of unlikely from where I'm sitting right now, then great. If he doesn't earn it, I think that would be even better, because if he doesn't find redemption at all, that would be even better.
Okay, I was going to say, if he doesn't earn it and gets it, consistent
within like what they have set up here. But
I mean, as it's, yeah, like I said, that sort of like that knowledge that we have as a viewer, knowing that he's important, and the knowledge that everybody else has thinking that he's not important, is what makes, I think, this anime really interesting. I've already said that, though.
One of the things I like about it is that although he is ostensibly the main character, like Andy was saying, like nobody else gives a shit about him because he's basically worthless. And it feels like that's the whole point of the show, is that this guy who thinks he's the main character is actually not. It's everybody else who's way more important than him. And it often,
yeah, he like, wants, he's got to know his place, and every time
worse. like he'll try to help and he'll just make it worse. Like he'll try to, like in the very first episode, the first thing he does is he meets up with Amelia and you know, talks to her and like offers to help her, but and then she's like hanging out with him all day, and then she's trying to like recover a ring, I think it is.
It's the crest. It's a little crest.
Or yeah, whatever it is, the thing to prove she's a princess or whatever.
She's available to be elected for the princess to be the next queen of the country.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I think it's like it's either one episode or two episodes later when he doesn't meet up with her, and then she eventually finds her way to where he is, but way faster than when he was along with her. And that's kind of a pattern that continues throughout the show, where he's trying to help and actually makes things worse over and over and over and over again. And he keeps breaking out of these loops, but he's not necessarily breaking out of these loops in a way that makes the world better is just better for him because he doesn't die, basically.
Do you think this is conceived in any way as a kind of spin on All You Need Is Kill, which was adapted into Edge of Tomorrow / Live, Die, Repeat as a movie? Like, that's a Japanese novel that had a fairly large following there. Do you think that this idea of having someone with that time rewind power who doesn't really put it to good use is an intentional conversation with that work or not?
I have no familiarity with any of those
things. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
People are Philistines.
But like, I will say that, yeah, the thing is that every loop he slowly learns to be better at saving people and slowly cares about them. Like, I think the second loop, he has a chance to survive because he made a promise with another character called Betty. And she was going to protect him all the way, and he knew that he can get out the loop, but the ending was the loop that he would be in is a terrible loop to be in, because I think Rem dies and because of the fatigue, and so he's like, well, if I kill myself, then I can actually make things better. And that's like the first instance of him trying to do something for not him. And that then gets blown out of proportion because he then believes he is his own important person. And now he's on a sort of loop where it feels that he's very much trying to actually learn from his past mistakes. Previously, it feels like he's just like only focusing on like one thing, whilst now he's focusing on everything around him, actually taking in what he's learned, not from just one loop, but all his previous loops, and then the actual understanding the politics and what the politics of this world that he is in is now meaning, and how he can use that to his advantage.
And more importantly, I think that he's learning to let other people take the reins instead of being in control himself all the time.
Yeah, that's a really big, because he actually asks for help instead of being
demanding it
or taking it in his own hands.
Yeah,
which is actually the big thing that you're getting from this loop. I don't know. I think it's really good, despite the sort of the main guy. Like, I think the fact that the main guy is an absolute asshole makes the anime a lot better. If he was likable, I don't think it would be as good.
I also don't think he has redeeming qualities. It's just that they're so drowned out by his shittiness, but the shittiness like Andy said is like slowly going away, and I don't know where it'll go. Maybe it'll have a really shitty ending, maybe it won't, but so far it's been a really, really good thing.
Well, yeah, it's really good. Hopefully it will end. It feels like the current loop that they're on now is going to be the last loop that they're going to end on, and then hopefully it will end somewhere satisfactorily for a second season, because I get a feeling this has done well in Japan, this show.
I wouldn't be able to say. I guess I can look that up while you guys are talking.
I mean, I think I've said everything I have to say.
Well, yeah. You can transition. I know, Andy, you were chomping at the bit, to talk about Love Live. Love Live, I think.
I can talk about Love Lab as well, but I haven't watched Love Lab in ages. I've watched that show when it started. Man, Love Live is weird. Like, when I went to Japan, I went to Japan recently, guys. There was, like, Love Live is insanely popular over there. Like, you can't go anywhere without some sort of Love Live merchandise shoved down your throat. And this season, they've started Love Live Sunshine, which is the third season of Love Live, and it's a completely different school. So the original story was about a school that was going to close down. And I mean, I'm sure you guys all remember your high school idol band. Do you remember how did yours do? I'm guessing.
For a second, I was like, wait, what are you talking? What? I don't remember. Oh, God.
It's a subtle joke.
You're making a joke.
So, yeah, the show predicates around all schools in Japan now have idol groups, which are like a sort of like light music, like K-On, group. They are just like a an idol group band that have formed in the school. And then they go to perform at this thing called Love Live, which is the big competition. But I haven't gotten that far in the first season because the first season isn't that good.
Okay. I'm confused.
I'm going to watch this tonight.
I'm watching the first season and the third season concurrently because the first season... Yeah, because the first season... The third season is... based is like unrelated to the first season whatsoever. So the first two seasons are about one school who are trying to save their school from being expelled by making an idol group within their school become really popular, so more people want to be enrolled in that school.
It's the girls in Panzer plot, but idol group instead of tanks. That's interesting.
Love Live came first, in which it was the other way around. But I don't know if that's true. So the first two seasons follow this idol band called Muse. And then the third season follows an idol band called Aquors in a completely different school. But it's based...
With the same problem.
This is the thing. It starts off with like the main girl. The only reason she wants to start an idol band is because she just wants to not be normal, which is a really like unnormal way of thinking. Like, I don't want to be a normal person. I want to be famous. It's like, isn't that just what everybody thinks every day? Like, but that actually compels her to start an idol group, and then like they form the idol group in practically the same way in the first season and the second season. Like, it starts off with this one girl and their two close friends, and then it's like, oh, but we don't have an artist, because this idol group also has to do all their music and songs themselves, and then somehow get magically produced into the most professional sounding songs that you've ever heard. So they enroll like this girl who can play the piano, and she has some like, they all have personal hang-ups, and like, I'm trying to make it sound bad, but it's actually quite good. Like, there's a lot of sweet stuff going on. The characters are really nice, and I kind of really enjoy it. The third season also has like the most stupendous budget. It's so pretty. Like, I've never seen so much budget gone into an anime because they just know it's going to be popular. Like, even the 3D models, like, they have bits of the first season compared to in the third season. And like, the difference in quality is so shocking. You're like, oh yeah, wow. Yeah. They've really ramped it up this season. Like, I don't know. It's enjoyable trash, but I really enjoy it. I think I'm going to watch it to the end and then be like, yeah, that was kind of trash. Like, the songs are really good. The animation's really good. The art is really good. The characters are so much better than the first season characters. Even the main girl.
Still trash. What?
But it's still like, you know, like, it's just like K-On. Like, it's just the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just like 9 girls instead of 4. 5. Wait, how many is it?
4 and then 4 and then 5.
Yeah, 4 and then 5.
Once Asusa joins.
Yeah.
Okay, quick correction section. ReZero is selling about 10,000 a volume, which is good but not great. And Girls in Panzer, the manga debuted 5 months after Love Live's manga debuted. So probably a case of convergent evolution rather than direct influence.
Nope, obviously they just copied Love Live.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's pretty easy just to drop an entire manga volume.
Wait, Love Live the manga came before the anime? I thought the anime was first. Huh. Sounds like I know shit.
Nope. it might be the case of where they planned it concurrently and then they released the manga first, because the manga comes out in January 2012 and then the first run of the anime is in January 2013.
Huh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like, I really enjoy it for kind of something you can just sort of turn off and just, like, if you want to watch an idol anime, like, you've got Cinderella, Idolmaster, and you've got, like, a bunch of others, like, Love Live is constantly considered the best, and it is very good. But
I've never really bothered to get into the idol stuff. I know that E-Virus, who writes for Karma Burn, my favorite anime blog, is really into all sorts of that genre, but I've never really gotten into it. I am curious because I know Mura, the artist who creates Berserk, like, the besides his own questionable health, the main thing that's holding him back from making more Berserk mangas is that he's super addicted to Idolmaster. Like, impossibly addicted to it. So
I've heard that.
That makes me curious, but that's about it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It doesn't. It's not really about the like. You just focus on like a couple of the way that my Japanese friend described it is he started watching Cinderella Girls, which is the Idolmaster anime. Which is a game and then a which is another huge franchise in Japan, but I don't think has the sort of global hit that Love Live has, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could just be what's in vogue right now. But the way he described it is it's just like you just got to focus on a few of the characters and then like get into them, and then the other characters you'll enjoy eventually when the rest of them sort of like blossom or something. So he's like, yeah. So I just watched Cinderella Girls like 4 times because I really like it, and I'm not gonna do that with Love Life, but I am gonna watch it all.
Well, that's good. I don't think you should do that with Love Life.
I mean, I am playing like the phone game, which is also quite.
Oh man, Karma Burn actually has a review of the phone game. It looks super boring. So,
I mean, it's a phone game where you're just like it's just a. Boring music rhythm game, but it somehow fires off some sort of satisfaction triggers when I get perfects, where it like and it does like some weird note patterns. But yeah,
you know that they also have like a kind of like a bonsai buddy thing where you can have like a girl on your phone, one of the girls from Love Live, and you can like just check in with her and like see how she's doing. But
no.
That's really all you can do with her. Maybe that'll be next for you.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my phone.
Okay. Well, while he does that, I'm going to briefly go over what I've been watching. I've actually been watching a ton of anime lately. I watched Katana Gatari, but without Duncan here, I don't want to talk about it. I watched it.
It's good. Good shit.
Cool. Yeah.
That is an anime that I, too, enjoyed.
I want to talk instead about Starship Operators, an anime from 2005, that kind of is in that weird genre that was really popular in the early 2000s of a group of unlikely people command a starship to success. The most famous is probably Martian Success from Nadeshiko, but also like Vandred, and then Starship Operators. Martian Success from Nadeshiko is that America and the world is losing a war against a bunch of aliens from beyond Jupiter. A company decides to build and crew its own starship full of misfits to fight it. Vandred is that it's the far distant future where men and women live on different planets and don't believe that the other exists, and they're both kidnapped aboard a starship to fight aliens.
Yeah, how do they?
Artificial womb technology.
Okay.
It's actually fairly. Both of those shows are better than they should be, which is to say, not particularly good. I would actually say that Starship Operators is actually. Probably a legitimately good anime, like not on the level of some sci-fi anime like, you know, Legend of Galactic Heroes or Crest/Banner of the Stars, but it's actually pretty good. The premise is that basically this ship full of trainees is out in deep space when their planet is attacked, occupied, and like taken over by this evil expansionary empire, and they decide instead of surrendering that they buy the ship and supply it by arranging a contract with a news network, and they have like a reality TV show where the news network puts a reporter on the ship and she like records and reports on them fighting battles against this expansionary force. And there's a couple of twists and turns, but it actually ended up being pretty good. The reality TV show angle is the worst part of it, honestly. But the idea of a bunch of inexperienced cadets being forced to fight a guerrilla war without support was actually really entertaining. And honestly, I think the best thing that recommends it is all the battles are really well staged. And like, you know what's going on. You can watch them. You can watch it and you can appreciate how smart the like various tactical decisions are, which is probably the biggest flaw of Legend of Galactic Heroes, which is otherwise a really great anime, is that oftentimes you have to be told as the viewer that what someone's doing is really, really clever because you can't see it, because it's just, you know, I mean, you've seen anime where it's just like just lines of ships just like moving, and then someone screams like, oh, they're doing an encirclement, now we can't escape. And it's just like, well, it's space. Yeah. So it's really hard. It's like an ensphierment. That's probably really hard to do, but
is it also that sort of anime thing where everybody has the same thought, like, concurrently, like in Soma or, like, any sports anime, where they're all, like...
where they're basically like, telepathically talking to each other.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I see he's like, doing this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, that guy's got really good food. Yeah, but he's using this food. And it's like everyone's just this fucking expert of exactly what they're doing. And it's just...
I mean, the advantage of the stupid reality show thing is that they don't need to do that because they have a character whose entire purpose is to be like, oh, they're doing this. But, like... the fact is, at the beginning, they're sending ships. They're like the Empire sending ships after the Rogue, like crew of trainees. And each ship has a different power. Like, oh, this ship has like impenetrable front armor. How can we beat it? And it's just since each episode's kind of paced around a single battle until the midsection where some other weird stuff happens. They have a whole episode to explain to you like why this battle is important and how they defeat it. And it's really well paced. And then at the end, there's a twist that is surprising while being earned, which is something that media in general, not just anime, has a lot of trouble with. Like something that's actually, if we were going to talk about Katana Gatari, like I think the twist at the end of Katana Gatari is to some extent not earned, and in Starship Operators it's 100% earned. That said, the downsides of the anime are that the characters are stupid. The main character is one of those people who's like, I don't like to fight wars. Why are we in danger? And she's like, and they present her as like this tactical genius, but she hates war. And
killing is bad.
There is. It's not even bad. It's just like, I'm afraid of dying. I don't want to be in war. I'm like, well, first off, you joined the military, so you fucked up a long time ago.
Do they have a choice to join the military?
She's a volunteer. She's like, oh, I was always really good at military tactics, so I joined the military. But I don't want to die. And I'm like, well, you're undermining your characterization. That's really smart because. That's a really dumb
fucking thing. Stupid thing to do.
I don't know. And it takes her like 3 or 4 episodes of like letting people die with her in action before she does the typical anime thing of like, oh, if I do nothing, sometimes that's more harmful than doing something. Mm. And that's awful. And the characters are generally just interchangeable people who, when they need to be, they're against war. And when they need to be, they're like bloodthirsty gorillas. And when they need to be, they're in love with each other. And when they need to be, they're not, which is frustrating. But they're probably the least important part of the show, the characters themselves. the situations are what's interesting, and the politics and this idea of like they're being pressured by like their parents and by other nations to surrender because they're making things bad for people at home by being this guerrilla force. But I enjoyed it. I didn't expect to because I just downloaded it on a whim and the premise sounds terrible. A reality TV show about a ship of trainees sounds like the worst. And some parts of it were the worst. Some parts of it were not that bad. So that's all I have to say about that.
That's cool. There's not many reality TV show animes out there.
And watching it, you understand why, because like, I mean... Okay, let me just play. We'll play a quick quiz game. I know you love these, Andy. Question number one? What is the moral? What is the morality of the TV station owner? Just guess. What kind of a person is he? What does he believe is right?
He's
and wrong?
A warmonger, obviously.
Okay, that's John's answer, Andy.
I think he's mainly striving for ratings, but clearly what he also wants to do is he wants to show off the horrors of war because he is a good person inherently.
That is almost perfectly the correct description. Both of you. Yes, he loves blood for ratings, but like in the last four episodes, he like remembers when he was a reporter and like getting to know people and the real stories about people. But yeah, he like sits in a dark room that's absurdly tiny for him being the owner of the fucking TV network. This tiny like 6 foot by 6 foot by 8 foot room.
Amazing.
And just smokes up a chain, and he's always like, ratings, you know?
Ratings, up.
Well, he one of the twists is that he like leaks information to the enemy, and then to like make a more dramatic battle, and then he gets mad at them that they almost lose it. And it's like, you leaked ratings, you leaked information. Like, I mean, that's the frustrating thing is the characters don't seem to have like any sort of inner life that like appreciates consequences of actions, which like, so if you're looking for Shakespeare, this isn't it. But I would actually say it's better than Martian Succession to Desco, which is terrible because like everyone quits the ship in Martian Succession to Desco halfway through. Sorry, spoilers. And that's just stupid. And that's also not appreciating the consequences of your actions. You can't just like quit in a war. That's a war for survival. And it's even better than Vandred, which is better than it has any right to be, but it's no Crest of the Stars or Legend of Galactic Heroes. So if you're looking for shooty stuff in space, probably go to those first.
Yeah.
If you're looking for corrupt TV executives, I mean, you can watch basically any anime with corrupt. I bet Love Live has a corrupt executive, doesn't it?
I haven't. It's all that Love Live has shown so far is the rivals that are two people who did a backflip over one woman and one of the characters, and they're like, "Oh my god, she's really good," and it's setting up for them to fail in this competition that they're doing now.
Oh like, man,
yeah, like it. Love Live is I enjoy Love Live a lot, but it's it's not amazing by any stretch of the imagination. But the characters are really good. Like the characters are really fun to watch, and they're a lot better than season one, where they're all just a bit boring.
I mean, sometimes I wonder if I've seen all like the truly like masterful anime, and I'm just gonna be watching anime that's varying degrees of like okay to surprisingly good. Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of the last like masterpiece I watched, and God, I'm drawing a blank.
Tatami Galaxy?
I haven't watched that yet. I should.
That's when you need to watch.
Well, I want to be in the mood for it, and I'm never in the mood for something great, I guess.
I'm gonna pick another shitty anime to watch and talk about what's good about it.
I'm excited. What is it and why is it shit?
No, I'm making fun of you.
Oh. You know, if you say it's crappy now, I'm gonna nail you to the wall, so you better be ready.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't. No.
I'm taking it back.
I was mocking. I was pretending to be you. I wasn't.
What anime did you watch?
Oh, I don't. I guess Mob Psycho. I don't.
Oh, yeah, Mob Psycho 100. That's amazing.
Mob Psycho 100 is good.
Apart from the opening, which is not very good.
Are you fucking shitting me right now? Is this a
content warning? Jesus.
The opening has somebody counting from 1 to 100. Like throughout the whole of the opening, but then because it's like not the whole song, it just skips from between like 20 odd to about 80.
That's fine, whatever. It doesn't matter because
Andy, that sounds amazing. Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about.
It sounds great. Yeah, it's a good. Oh,
it
man.
Does. It does build on you. Yeah. No, Mob. Do you want to talk about Mob? Because I really like it.
We can talk about Mob. I think it's better than One Punch Man. Just for the record, but
whoa,
I always have
you loved
that.
One Punch Man.
Yeah, I love One Punch Man. That doesn't mean I don't think it's. That doesn't mean I think it's the best thing objectively.
What does Mob Psycho 100 do that One Punch Man doesn't do, and why is that better?
They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But Mob Psycho sticks to the premise of the main character actually being kind of a broken human much more than One Punch Man does. Like One Punch Man has a higher ratio of gags to real content than Mob does, I guess, would be the way I put it.
It seems like the season for broken human beings.
I mean,
when I say broken, I don't mean like he's like mentally just gone. I mean like he's a teenager with anxiety issues, and he's afraid to like express himself and stuff like that, and that surfaces through like his powers and whatnot, but
only because the story is that he has a rating of like his own self anger or whatever emotion builds up, and then because he's repressing all his emotions supposedly, yeah. because when he used to release his emotions, his psychic powers, which he is an incredibly gifted psychic power person who can see ghosts, use telekinesis, use whatever the other psycho tele, all those words stuff. and
psycho telly.
And yeah, he can. Yeah, and so he represses them because whenever he shows emotion, it always comes out negatively, or at least in his past, it's been a negative effect on him or everybody around him.
Basically, he's afraid of his powers, right? And he doesn't want to explode. But because he doesn't want to explode, he like Andy said, he represses his feelings. And when you don't express yourself, that tends to slowly build up and build up until you explode, which is not fun. And that's what he does.
Yeah, and when he explodes, oh boy, he explodes. Like, it's insane. The last episode, the latest episode I watched, which was episode 8 or 9?
Well, with the 7 school? Is the next episode, and it's not out yet.
Oh,
so.
Right, okay, so 6?
6.
yeah, episode 6 was the last one I watched. But yeah, but the episode before that, 5, that is a perfect show of him. Like, so he has this amazing expression of anger, and it blows, destroys this. And I'm spoiling shit left, right, and center. I don't care today.
Death of spoiler culture. Keep going.
Don't watch this
anime if you believe that spoilers are bad. Don't watch this. Don't listen to this podcast if you believe spoilers are bad either. Just yeah, come on.
Spoilers. We didn't put that at the beginning.
Yeah, so he explodes this whole school. It all goes flying into the air, including the guy he's fighting, because he's using his own psychic powers to fight and improve his life. So, which is a complete parallel to what Mob's been doing all his life. But Mob is the more talented psychic. He destroys the whole school out of. I can't remember if it's anger. No, he gets knocked out, and then like this monster gets unleashed and destroys the whole school. And then his sadness gets so sad that he restores the whole school, apart from the main guy he's fighting, Cloves, who he's just sat butt naked just next to him.
And bald. Don't forget bald.
Oh, yeah, and bald. but then like there's some really sweet character interactions like in the next episode after with like the... Although he's constantly trying not to do anything to upset people, he's also trying to have this self-improvement thing of he joins the bodybuilding club. And it's really sweet, like, their relationship.
He's like this really skinny kid, and all the other people in this club are like big and buff, and they don't look like high schoolers because it's anime. But they really look out for him, and they like care about him, and they like, you know,
it's adorable.
They try to help him, and it's really great.
And it's like every time he's like, oh, you ran further this time than you did last time. You're getting there, man.
Yeah.
And oh, it's really sweet. So, and there's characters like that are emerging. Like, what's the other guy? The sham psychic who he has.
Oh, Reagan.
Reagan. Yeah. Like Reagan's also constantly looking out for him. Although you could argue in.
So Reagan's this con man who pretends to be a psychic, and he like uses Mob to help him actually solve real problems that need a real psychic. So he kind of comes off as this like bastard, like this asshole. But he also actually legitimately cares about Mob, and he like helps him out, and, like, you know, gives him good advice. Like, but he also gives him some bad advice to make sure that he sticks around. So it's kind of like a little
double-edged sword, It's so funny when he comes in and he's like, now to use my secret power, Photoshop, as he like edits out this ghostly shadow from behind this person in a picture.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
He gives like a massage to one person who thinks somebody is like, he thinks like a spirit is on their back, and they're like, wow, I feel so much better. You're real. it's both funny and touching, and also like, it looks great. Like, Bones.
Yeah.
Bones, first of all, is a great studio. They know how to make something look good, and they put a lot of work into this. And I think they saw like what happened with One Punch Man, and were like, we can do better.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. Like, I wonder if it's just one, or...
Yeah, I don't know. It might be that, like, one inspires some sort of, like, work ethic in people, but, yeah.
The simplicity of the drawing makes... Yeah. Sorry, I keep interrupting you, guys.
No, it's fine. Babe. I was just going to say, Mob has a lot more, like, style to its art than One Punch Man did. One Punch Man plays everything very straight in terms of art style. I mean, it looks great. It's
well,
very...
yeah, I think One Punch Man's trying to like look just like your standard shonen, whatever.
Right. Whereas Mob has this like it actually looks like the webcomic that One draws, and but it, you know, it's better because these are real artists. Not to throw shade at him, but I think he's like a storyboarder professionally, if I'm not mistaken. So he doesn't he doesn't do like the actual frames or anything.
Yeah, he's not a professional artist, that's for sure. But it's passable. Certainly not the worst. But and also there's a lot of weird like techniques and stuff. So every time a ghost disappears, they use this very strange sort of like black ink on like dry marker pen on whiteboard visual aesthetic. And with the ending, actually, the ending OP looks like marker pen on whiteboard, just like constant loads of like constantly edited. And then also when he uses like his superpower, it has this effect of like you know that paper that you get where you sort of move it and it's like a foily paper. They've somehow, you know the one I'm talking about, and it's multicolored, but you move it. You know what I'm talking about? Does that make any sense?
Nope. No. Sorry. Just keep going. I'm sure we have readers in Britain.
Someone will have it, yeah. Like it has that sort of like that. It has some very weird, like cool effects to do with that, which I've never seen before in anime, which is really nice. And I really do enjoy seeing, like when those appear, they must be a butt to make because I don't know how they do it, but yeah. Like it looks like I'm not gonna be honest, I can't describe it. It's a weird thing.
Okay,
it's a good looking show.
It's a good looking show, very good. Also the opening is, yeah, the opening, whilst the song is not very good at first, like the imagery and like the weird sort of the weird landscape and stuff that happens on that is really cool.
It's really 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 good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, the transition, like, between, is it like a broccoli, and then it goes to a dango, and then, the octopus balls, takoyaki, and then it goes to, like, that green ghost specter. I think that's really cool. Have I got that right? I think I've messed up somewhere. Doesn't matter.
It's fine. Watch it for yourselves, dear listeners.
don't.
Well, while they do that, do you want to take a break and then come back with our pitches for our Spotlight Anime next time we record?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll see you there.
See you later.
I'll also see you there.
No, you won't.
Oh.
And we're back for the second half of this podcast. We'll be pitching what anime we want to watch for our Spotlight anime next time, next podcast. I volunteered to start because I have a good one, even better maybe than X/1999, depending on your orthographical conventions. But that is Record of Lodoss War. Which I know that John has watched. I don't know if you've watched, Andy.
No, never heard of it.
It is an OVA that came out between 1990 and 1991. It's got a really interesting history. Record of Lodoss War started as a Dungeons & Dragons campaign run by Mizuno Ryo in 1986 that involved a bunch of other major Japanese cultural figures, like a Japanese sci-fi novelist, Yamamoto Hiroshi. And Mizuno took notes of what happened in that campaign, published them online, and eventually published them as some of Japan's first homegrown Western-style fantasy novels. And it got so famous that they had to stop referencing Dungeons & Dragons, and they made their own version of the system called Sword World RPG, which is now 25 years old in its second edition. It's a very Japanese name, Sword World RPG. So what's fascinating about this anime is that it's kind of terrible, but it's a very faithful animation of a bunch of 20-something Japanese nerds playing a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And so the things that are great about this, There is so much world building. Like the first episode, the first real episode, they begin with the first episode being a middle of the season episode, and then they start over at the beginning for the rest of the show. is just like a lore dump that puts the like prologue for Lord of the Rings to shame. They explain like all this history of the world. The main character Parn is a terrible choice for a main character. He's impulsive, cowardly, entitled, and extremely stupid. To counteract this, the story, which is to say the dungeon master in that RPG game, just gives him stuff all the time. Like, just gives him, like, swords and armor. And, like, characters are like, you're a really powerful dude, aren't you? And he's like, oh, I'm scared. it's like, if it had come after Neon Genesis Evangelion, I'd think that Parn was meant to be a subversion of Shinji, but it's not. It came out 5 years before, and he's just a weird, cowardly idiot. the better characters in the show, especially the dwarf Gim and the wizard Slain, functionally quit the show halfway through. Because their players probably quit because this party was ridiculous and terrible. So there's that. And also, like, all the major plot points in Record of Lodoss War happen by fiat. Like, villains regularly kill themselves. sometimes, like, just kill themselves, like, oh, I'm so powerful. And then he brings the rock roof down on his head. And that's how a villain dies in the show. sometimes when a hero manages to kill a guy, immediately, like, someone teleports in and takes the guy away, and then, like, oh yeah, he lived. So it's definitely, it's an anime of, like, the worst D&D campaign you can imagine. And so it's not good, but it's entertaining, and it's very interesting to, like, talk about, like, fantasy and role-playing, which I know is kind of hot right now with all these role-playing, live role-playing podcasts. And it's just kind of its time. Like, they made a second season, which is, I'd actually say the one cool thing, if I'm going to pitch it legitimately as something that's good, is that, like, all the main characters used to be a D&D party, and now they're, like, NPCs, and now the main characters are all a D&D party. And then the sequel series, the characters from that season are now, like, the big rulers of the world, and there's a new D&D party of characters that are doing things. So there's a sense of generational progress that's really interesting.
Can I just ask a question? So is it like, does it set itself up knowing that there's a dungeon master? Does the dungeon master introduce himself, or is it just pure straight, like...
It's presented as straight fantasy, but it's so inept that, like, if you read reviews on, like, My Anime List or AnnieDB, someone's like, this is the anime that comes the closest as possible to the feeling of a D&D campaign. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the makers played D&D because that's how it feels. Like, it just feels like a Dungeons & Dragons campaign in a lot of different ways. Like, the setting is really detailed in some ways and also really vague, and, like, things just happen because they have to happen. So as a standalone story, it's kind of inept and unfocused. But when you realize that, like, this is some guy who loved his Dungeons & Dragons campaign so much that he turned it into a novel, and then that novel got made into an anime, like, pretty great.
Yeah.
So that's my pitch. It's not going to be good, but it's funny and weird, and it's from the height of, like, Triangle Torso, like, Arrow Chin anime of the early 90s. So it's also got, you know, kind of, like, great art.
Anime art.
Mm-hmm. Man, did you guys, I don't know if you've ever read the Sailor Moon Zetsuba Sensei manga, but they make fun of the, of, like, when Triangle Chins used, when, like, Arrow Chins used to be a huge thing of, like, these long pointed chins that continue six inches below. And they do that as the first vignette in the volume. And then throughout the rest of the volume, everyone's chin is still looking, like, longer and more pointed throughout there until at the end, Itoshiki Sensei, the titular Sailor Zetsuba Sensei, accidentally, like, stabs himself with his own chin and freaks out because his chin's too sharp. I love Sailor Zetsuba Sensei. We should do that sometime too. But
I've never seen Sailor Zetsuba Sensei.
No, you'd love it because you're really steeped in, like, Japanese otaku culture.
I was
thinking about
pitching that one, actually. But
that show is exponentially funnier the more references you get, because Koji Kumita, who wrote the manga, is just such this weird, like, insular, like, whining kind of guy, but who's also very funny and well observed. And so, like, just having the thing where, yeah, having the slowly growing, like, in chin, which is eventually just, like, everyone's... And there's another one where they talk about, like, how hair used to be, like, a lot more, like, detailed and strandy, and then for the rest of the issue, like, everyone's got, like, weird strandy hair, and it's just distracting and weird looking. It's, yeah, anyway. That'll be next... I'll pitch that next time, promise. But awesome. This time, Record of Lodoss War all the way. Triangle torsos, arrow chins.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. It looks fun. It's got... I mean, when you say it's funny, is it actually because it's written or because it's so bad it's funny?
I'm not usually a proponent of it's so bad it's good, but it's just kind of endearingly crap all the way through. and there's some parts that are genuinely terrible, and I was talking about this with John earlier, but there's some parts that are genuinely terrible. But when you imagine that what's happening is, like, why this character suddenly, like, has this about face moral thing and, like, begins to protest, is because the player's throwing a fit at the table, and for some reason left it in the story as something that happens. Like, there's one guy whose name is Woodchuck, he's the thief, and he's just a dick the entire anime, like, screwing the party over. And when I first watched it and didn't know where it came from, I found him annoying. I'm like, why is this character in the anime? All he does is just sabotage the party pointlessly. And then knowing that it's a D&D party, like, oh, this guy thinks he's the cool guy who's, like, yeah, I'm not
like
part of the party.
My first D&D party, basically.
That's cool.
So, but no, it's actually very rarely, like, deliberately funny. It takes itself enormously seriously. It thinks it's got this, like, incredible story of the ages to tell you about the land of... called Forsalia, the land of Forsalia. Oh, God.
Yeah? Cool.
Yeah, so there's that.
I'll go next with my pitch. I am going to pitch, because I mentioned it earlier, because it was on my brain, I'm going to pitch Tatami Galaxy, which is written by Tomihiko Morimi, and it's obviously directed by Masaki Yuasa. Who also did Mind Game, and
I lost you. I can't hear you.
Other great stuff. Okay, I can't like think Mind of all Game. The stuff he's done.
He did Mind Game.
He did Ping Pong. He did Heartbreak. What was that wrestling one that was kickstarted? That was like the first anime Kickstarter.
I think it was like Heartbreak or Break Heart or something.
Yeah.
Break
Heart.
Kickstart Heart. Kick Heart.
Kickheart. It was
Kickheart. Yeah. Oh, we did an episode of Adventure Time, which was really cool.
Did an episode of Space Dandy.
Space Dandy. Oh man, that episode was real good.
I actually don't like that episode. Shut but you don't have to get into it.
I can't, which episode is it that he did?
I'm biting my
the
finger.
One with the fish, where like the weird fish world.
So good.
Oh, I quite like that for just the weirdness.
He did key art on an episode of Samurai Champloo that I'm trying to figure out which one it is. It's probably
episode
the weird
nine.
One.
Episode 9. I'm looking at his wiki. So I really like this anime. It's got a similar, like ReZero, it's got a similar sort of like Groundhog Day thing of them repeating the same thing over and over again. And it's never really explained whether all these things are happening simultaneously and this guy is living these different things, like different lives all the time, or whether it's like a repeated universe. But it's really good. I really like all the characters. I really like the design. It's got some really beautiful set pieces, and yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
I've always wanted to watch it, so I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good anime. Yeah.
I honestly don't remember much about it. I remember really, really liking it. I also remember that they talk really fast.
Yeah, they do talk really, really fast. And it's really off-putting because it, like, the first time I watched it, there's I just kept pausing it.
Yeah.
And then there's one screen, which is actually a real shame in the... which they, like, they just didn't translate. There's one screen where... So the second, his friend is, like, this devil character. And they pause him on like the first or second episode, and they and it's just a pause screen, and then he goes and there's like writing all over, which explains all his evil points that has got on his just his looks alone. Like, he's got a constantly grinning face. It's like shark tooth. He's got like evil looking eyes. He's got pointy ears, like all this sort of stuff. And then it just sort of, and these are all, it's like there for about 5 seconds, but it's all completely incoherent Japanese for us Western viewers. But, and yeah, so they didn't even bother translating that in the DVD version. In the anime, in the fan sub version, all they did was they put a translator's note at the top with an IMGUR link, and then
yes. Oh wow,
yeah, and then somebody just translated it all, but yeah, it's really good. Like it's very Masaki Yuasa, although it's got the drawing, I feel, isn't maybe sort of totally his. It's not as sketchy or as
it's definitely a cleaner art style than he usually does.
Yeah, and there's a lot of interesting stuff story-wise going on, especially that last episode. And yeah, it's good. I really, really enjoy it. There's a reference to... Oh, no, that's not a reference. Sorry. I thought that little plushy thing was a reference to... what's that fucking called? Paranoia Agent? But it's not. I'm going mad. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Yeah, the weird dog, pink dog thing.
Yeah, the Mogu, I think it was called. But yeah, so it's really good. I absolutely love this anime. The DVD release was limited, really, but was really beautiful. It's good.
The dog's name is Maromi. Maromi.
Thanks. Thank you. We needed that.
Maromi.
Maromi?
Are you Maromi? Is it Maromi or Maromi?
Maromi.
Okay.
Well, that showed you. So yeah, that's my pitch. I'm not explaining it very well. I'm sorry.
No, it's great.
It's
how
hard
about
to
you,
explain
John?
Series anyway. I don't have one.
Do you want to just do it? What was your one
wait,
last
about-
time?
I know what we should watch. We should watch Anohana because that's Ben's favorite anime.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck you. I'll watch Aoihana.
Anohana.
Yeah. Anohana. He doesn't like it, remember. Anyway.
I know.
I was going to say Mind Game, but since we already have a Masaki Yuasa thing in the recommendation pool, I won't do that.
Okay, so let's put it up for a vote. Should we go serious or silly this next week?
Jeez, don't say week.
When well, next I we think... release this podcast, when what should we go next?
For our 2017 episode.
I think that we shouldn't have my anime pick twice in a row. Something like Lodross War looks something like it's sort of the anime that I'll never ever touch in a million years.
I think Lodoss War would be a lot of fun to pick apart, just just identify some elements that are just like so dumb and just figure out why it happened, knowing the history of it, like the origin.
Let's do that one. So we're going to do Record of Lodoss War. Note that is different than Record of Lodoss War Chronicles of the Heroic Knight, which is the sequel.
What about Have Some Record of Lodoss War Is That Delicious?
No.
Okay.
What?
It's a 13-episode series, which is a parody of the Record of Lodoss War media franchise. Don't sound so bad. It looks amazing.
Unfortunately, it does not look like it is available for streaming, although the full series is up on YouTube, probably in some gray area of legality. So...
hey, if they don't take it down, it's legal.
So there's that. If you want to watch it and can't get a copy, I'll mail you mine, and you can mail it back once you're done.
That includes you, listeners. You could have to email Ben.
No, exactly.
And,
yes. Okay. Do we have any tweets or emails before we close this one out?
I've got a little note that it is coming up to the 21st anniversary of Akira, and if this comes out from before September the 21st, there is, I think, I think globally there's screenings of Akira live in cinemas.
I actually saw Akira a few, or like maybe a month ago in theaters. They had it in the Alamo Drafthouse, which is a theater chain down here. Reserved seats, cool. And comfortable seats. And
was that your first time watching it, or multiple times?
No, I've seen it before, but I hadn't seen it on a big screen. And man, it is something. It's a really good looking anime.
Is it worth watching on the big screen?
Actually, I would say for sure.
Yeah, I have only seen it once, and that was like on a projection screen.
Like, I am not like huge on the story of Akira. I don't really care much about it, but it is really pretty looking, and it has good music, and
it's the first anime that used its own. It's one of the first animes to use its own custom color palette because they redid it to have all the nighttime shots, and so it was enormously expensive for the time because of that. But it's great, and if we can just talk about that even on the podcast, that'd be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we should make the maybe we'll make we should really make it a spotlight anime one day, because
we should. I mean, I think we were trying to pick ones that people don't usually go see on their own, but I mean, that means we're going to be missing out a lot of good ones. So maybe yeah, soon.
One day we're going to spotlight the entire Dragon Ball franchise. Oh,
just wait. That's for your spinoff podcast with Sean the or Zeus on the forums, because you two can talk about that forever. I would not be a good part of that.
Yeah, I don't care about Dragon Ball that much.
Oh my god, the hate.
I don't hate it. I just don't.
It's just boiling over. I can see you seething, smoke coming out of your ears.
We should check definitely email, do though. That Ava daily episode. We're going off on a tangent.
That would be great. Okay, so let's wrap this up.
Check the emails.
What?
Check the emails.
Okay, I'll check the emails, dear.
We're going to be up on iTunes soon. We have album art.
What?
You'll probably be listening to this on
wait.
On,
we have album.
We have album art coming very soon, don't we?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, I've got a new sign in from Firefox on Windows. That's a good anime. Ollie Murs tweeted, "You've killed me big time, Dad." That's another good email. We've got no emails. But do we have a word from our sponsor?
We don't have a sponsor.
Okay, fine.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and since we apparently have very few emails and tweets, you can definitely get read on the podcast by tweeting us at KeyframesPod, emailing us at keyframespodcast@gmail.com, and that's it.
Oh, we have a website. Come on.
Yep. Oh, the website. Well, I mean, you're probably listening to this at keyframespodcast.com.
This is a very wonderful website with lots of features, and you can sign in on that. Wait, never mind.
Check out my defunct anime blog at thecrabflowerclub.wordpress.com. All right. Okay, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
I need to get a drink of water. great. Well, everyone say goodbye, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Ooh, bye.